it's refreshing when you, you know, you think, well, pastors don't have difficult days. You're up here all day doing nothing. I know people think that sometimes. But I know that some of you have rough days, and you come in, and sweet songs like that. When Saul was tormented in spirit, they would use sweet music, sweet songs like that would change his spirit. And so you can come into a place feeling heavy and beat down by the world, and you can, sermons will help you, friendship will help you, but sometimes songs, just sweet songs like that, will definitely put you in a different spirit and help you a great deal. And you guys have helped me tonight, so I appreciate you singing, both the young ladies that did that. We appreciate it. 1 Timothy chapter 5 in your Bible. And I'm not going to preach on, I'm still stuck in 1 Timothy 4. We haven't ever gotten past that. We're preaching through the book of 1 Timothy. But I'm jumping ahead just to pull out something out of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And it's in the context of widows. But we're not going to talk about widows today. We'll talk about that at a different time. I just want to show you something in the Bible when it comes to this topic of the enemies, the tactic of the enemies, and it is tattling and gossiping. And this section right here gives you several definitions for gossip. And so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. Maybe it'll be a blessing to you and a help to you, I hope. And sometimes people say, well, this isn't really a blessing. It will be if you would heed it. It would definitely help you in your life and the people around you. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 11. But the younger widows refuse, who when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be, and here's some things that I want you to get. There's some characteristics here that I want you to pick up on, and we'll explain them a little bit. They learn to be idle, and idle's going to be an important factor in why people gossip later on in the message. You remember that from here, we won't turn back to it, but they're idle, and it says, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. And so then it says, I will therefore that the young women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. The idea that I wanted to pull from this is that whenever we're doing things like wandering about from house to house, tattling, busybodies, speaking things about people and to people that we ought not to speak, we're actually working alongside with the adversary. That's what we just said. And so again, it's that same thing. It keeps coming up as I'm trying to just work through this. I thought we were done with this, but as I was studying out this subject, I thought, here it is again. It's another place where the devil is actually at work, and people, Christians, are being used of the devil to do his work for him. Some definitions here. We look at it. Tattler. He says a tattler. Well, most of you know that. You know what a tattletale is. A tattler, that it's a tattletale is because he's tattling and tailing a tale. And that's what a tattletale is. So a tattler is someone that tells a tale. Pretty easy there. A busybody. It's someone getting involved in other people's matters. Now, that happens a lot in churches. It happens a lot in Christianity. And we put it under the guise of, well, I'm just trying to be helpful. But what happens is you can run a fine line with stepping over a boundary and just being someone that's involved in everybody's matters in their life, and you become what the Bible calls a busybody. The other thing is speaking things that they ought not to speak. And so they're speaking either about people or about things that they shouldn't be speaking about. And it could be just telling about feelings or things you disagree with, a decision somebody made or a decision the church made or a decision that you didn't like that's going on in somebody's life. They did this and they shouldn't have. You can become somebody speaking about things you ought not to speak as you start talking about other people's life. And somebody says, well, it's not gossip if it's true, it's not gossip. Folks, listen, it doesn't matter if you're telling the truth or you're telling an untruth, it is gossiping. You can be gossiping about something that's untrue and you are a lying gossip. But you can be talking about somebody that is true and it may be a truth, but it's still gossip. Other ways to define gossip, or other ways to define this thing of tattling or busybody or speaking of things. The Bible will define it this way. And I want you to go back with me in Proverbs chapter number 11. And we're going to do a lot in Proverbs tonight and just kind of study this. And I think it'll be a help to you. I know it'll be a help to church. I don't know that we have a lot of this that goes on. But I know that any church, I don't care where it is, how many people is in it, I don't care if it's got five people and they're all in the same family, this will happen. This will happen. And so it'll help us if we all learn that this is a tactic the devil's trying to use to cause problems in a church. A talebearer, that's one of the definitions. Look at Proverbs 11 and verse number 13. A talebearer, someone that bears tales, a talebearer revealeth secrets. I want you to think about it now. Are you falling into this category? A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. So a faithful person will conceal something, and a talebearer will reveal secrets to somebody else. It's a talebearer. Proverbs chapter number 16, give you some definitions tonight as we go into this, and it's going to get really interesting in a minute. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28. Proverbs 16 and verse number 28, watch what it says. A froward man, that's perverse in his ways, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. What a person that's a whisperer does, they walk around whispering and saying things to people. What a whisperer does is they end up doing things that separate friendships. They're revealing secrets and separating friends. They tattle or tell secrets. Another definition, and we'll get to it in a minute, and I won't turn to it here, we'll get to it in a little while, is the phrase backbiter. Backbiter. Now think about that. All these have explained themselves. What you're doing is you're biting on the back of somebody, meaning you're causing them harm behind their back. That's a backbiter. That's what they do. Now let me go through this. What is the work of gossip? What does gossip end up doing? How are we doing the work of the devil when we're gossiping? Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 9. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 9, very similar to the verse we just gave you. He that covereth a transgression, all right, now somebody's transgressed. Somebody's done something wrong. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now, that's not talking about, listen now, that's not talking about you. You've got an issue in your life covering it up. The Bible is very plain that if you cover it, you're not blessed. You got to confess it and forsake it. We're not talking about covering up issues. But we're talking about after somebody has done it, instead of us walking around and talking always about what somebody else has done and maybe gotten right about, why are you still talking about it? And so when you look at it, he that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. That's a problem. The work of gossip separates people. You know what the enemy wants to do? You know what the devil would like to do? Is separate people. He would like to get you separated from your spouse, separated from your friends, separated from your church. Why? Because he knows there's blessing in that unity, and he would like to get you separated. So I would say this, stop doing the work of the devil. Listen now, if somebody messes up, somebody gets messed up in life, they do something that's wrong, and they get up and they dust themselves off and they're trying to go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, how is it good if we sit around in our houses and talk about how bad their past is? What does that do for your family? Nothing. Nothing for your family. It does nothing for you. Listen, and as a matter of fact, there's several things I'll say through this. If you have nothing better to do with your time, then go find a closet and pray for them instead of talking about them. That's the best thing you could do. And so we're helping the enemy by promoting separation and separating friends. Proverbs 18 and verse number 8, watch what it says. Now, I'm just giving you Bible. You need to figure out if this is landing in your lap, if it's something new in you, and you need to go home and do something with it. Proverbs 18, verse number 8. Watch what it says. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. It does. It brings a deep wound. It hurts people. When you're gossiping, when you're talebearing, when you're backbiting, when you're being a busybody in other people's matters, you're telling people things and saying things you ought not to say. You are hurting people in a very deep way. It says it's a wound that goes down to the belly, meaning it goes down somewhere very deep in somebody. Some people never get over the fact, listen now real close, some people never get over the fact that maybe something's not perfect about their life, something's not right about their life, and everybody around them won't let it die, and everybody keeps talking about it. Next thing you know, they feel like, everybody around them, that's all they think about with them, and they end up out of church and messed up. It helps the enemy, it hurts people, it hinders the progression of the church. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3 in your Bibles. While you're turning there, I'm going to read a verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, at the end of what Paul was writing in the church at 2 Corinthians, and he wrote that letter to them. He said this in 2 Corinthians 12:20. He says, I fear lest when I come, he said, I'm going to come to you, and I fear that when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that you should be found unto you such as you would not, lest there be, watch, debates, envyings, wrath, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. He said, when I come to the church, you know what I don't want to find? I don't want to find out that church is full of people that are backbiting each other, that are whispering about each other, and that are full of envy and wraths. I don't want to find that. James chapter number 3, and look at verse number 3. Behold, this is a good one. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth. I'm not saying you're a horse's mouth that needs a bit, but that's what it says there. We put bits in a horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. That's something about, watch now, the mouth ends up directing the whole body. Watch what it says. Behold also the ships, which it says, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. A little thing like the mouth and the tongue destroys so much. A little thing like that little rudder that's there, that helm, ends up turning a great big ship. Little things end up causing big problems. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell. I mean, listen to the wording that goes on with the tongue and the things that we say. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue, watch, can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, I hope that's not what your tongue is. Verse number 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth, watch, blessings and cursing. Now watch what he says. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Listen, if your mouth is being used to do nothing but bring out cursings, and then you come to church and you say, praise the Lord, these things ought not so to be. If when you come to church and you think, well, I'm gonna say something and be a blessing to somebody, but listen now, when you go home and you sit down and you run down somebody else, well, you're being used of the devil. You're setting fires. Your tongue is setting fires. And so that little tongue sets a fire. Proverbs 26:20 says this, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. The fire is set by talebearers. Let me tell you, there's more problems in churches. Now look, there could be a problem. There could be a problem in, let's say, Brother James' life. It could be a problem in Brother James' life, and then he comes to the pastor, and the pastor works with him to try to work through that problem and help him recover and help him get going. And that may be an issue that we've got to deal with. It never becomes a fire until somebody else hears about it and begins to tell somebody else. They tell somebody else. They tell somebody else. Now we've got major problems, divisions, wounds that hurt deep into his body. We have all kinds of problems. Why? Well, not as much because he's got a problem, but because you couldn't stop your tongue from setting fires all over everybody else. Once a man told several malicious untruths, and he finally realized how damaging it was, and he came to the preacher and he asked, how do I make it right? It's a great illustration. The preacher sighed. He said, take two pillows, go to the public square, and there cut the pillows open, wave them in the air, then come back. And so the rumor monger quickly went home, got two pillows, got a knife, hastened to the town square, cut the pillows open, waved them in the air, and hastened back to the preacher's office. He said, I did just what you told me to do. He said, good. The preacher smiled. He said, now, to realize how much harm that you've been doing by gossiping, go back to the square. And the guy says, and? He said, yeah, collect every feather that you let out of those two pillowcases. Well, they're blown everywhere. Exactly. That's just how bad this thing messes people up. Look, the work of the devil, the work of gossip does, it hurts. It helps the enemy. It hurts people. It hinders the progression of the church. The church can't go anywhere because it's putting out fires. And let me tell you something else. It hurts your testimony. People get to the place that they no longer trust you because you gossip all the time. Let me tell you something about this country. I've been to other countries, and when you live in other countries, you know what they know about, you know what they know about America? What they see on TV. And they see the same talk shows and same type of things that we have over here. You know what they think? We're a bunch of gossiping, just backbiting, mean, hateful, hate each other, petty people. That's what they think of us. That's what other countries think. That's all they see. You know why? Because all of our news stations and a lot of our media stuff, if you really got down and thought about it, a lot of it is nothing but gossip and backbiting, and we listen to it all day long. All it is this guy said this, and this guy did this, and I don't think this is right, and I don't think that's right. And you got a panel with 15 different people with all different opinions just running their mouths about what somebody else did. Now they don't like it. And you got posts on Facebook. We're sharing posts of nothing but gossip about other people. And we think we're just sharing something interesting, but we're not. We're sharing. I don't know how many times I've seen things come through when I'm looking at Facebook on different things. I'll see stuff that comes through about, what is the Captain Jack Sparrow guy? What was his name? Johnny Depp and his wife. Who cares? But they think the whole world wants to know if she said something to him and he said something to her, and did they really say anything, and what did they say, and was it true or was it not? I don't know, and who really cares? I mean, don't we have better things to do with our life than figure out if Johnny Depp said something to his wife that wasn't right? Who cares? But the world thinks everybody cares about that. And you know what? Our ears, we've just got itching ears all the time wanting to hear more gossip and more stuff. Folks, I'm just telling you, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The work of gossip, let me give you this one. This is the good one. Why do we gossip? Why do we gossip? Well, you're already in this end of the Bible. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 real quick. 1 Peter chapter number 4. I guess I shouldn't have called him Captain Jack Sparrow. You'd know that I watched one of those. What she'll be doing tonight is going, did you hear what the pastor said? Somebody get the cell phone. We're calling our sister over. Did you hear what the pastor said tonight? 1 Peter chapter 4. Stacy watches it. I'm always in the other room doing dishes. I just hear it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 14. Watch what it says. Oh, look at verse number 13. But rejoice in so much your partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. I mean, if you're legitimately being reproached for the things of Christ, well, that's an honorable thing. And he says, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part he's evil spoken of, but on your part he's glorified. But let none of you suffer as a, watch this now, a murderer or as a thief. Look at this list. A murderer, a thief, an evil doer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. You know, the first reason why we gossip is we don't see it as bad as God sees it. We don't see it nearly as bad as what God sees it. And God puts it in the same category. I mean, look at this. If I was writing a list of things that are really bad, murder would be there, thievery would be there, evildoers would be there, and in my mind, I would not think to put the gossip in the same category. But God does. It's extremely interesting that he does this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, I'm going to read that to you. It's a long list of all these things. It says that even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled, watch this now, being filled with all unrighteousness, and then he names them, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, here we go, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient parents. But you know, right in the middle of all that wickedness, whisperers and backbiters. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, somebody says, I don't think God hates anything. Proverbs 6:16 says, he hates about seven things for sure. These six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are abomination, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. You would agree to all these things. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, yes. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, of course. Feet that be swift running to mischief, of course. A false witness that speaketh lies, of course. And watch this, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. We don't think gossip is as bad, but to be honest with you, it's in the same category of the things that God hates. Why? Because it's separating people. God's about bringing people together in Christ, and what we're being used by the devil to do is separate people from each other. We don't think it's as bad. The second one is this. We're deceived about our own religion. I won't have you turn there. Well, actually, you're right there. You're probably right there. James chapter number 1. Look over there real quick. You're right here at it. James chapter 1. Look at verse number 26. James chapter 1 and verse number 26. If any man among you seem to be religious. You know, that's the idea we were talking about a while ago about that water that brings forth sweet and then brings forth bitter. You know, there's some people that seem very religious. The problem is, if you get around them for a very long period of time, they seemeth to be religious, and watch this though, and bridleth not their tongue, bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. You know what? You've got an empty walk with God if you're spending your time talking about other people. See, we can deceive ourselves into thinking, well, I dress right, I attend church faithfully, I give better than most people in the church, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cheat, I do most things right. But the problem is we're guilty of gossip. And we're deceiving our own selves and thinking, well, I've got all these things right. What does it hurt if I gossip a little bit? Well, you just don't realize how God feels about it. I gave you 1 Timothy chapter number 5. We just read it just a minute ago. Let me give you another reason why we gossip. One, we just don't think it's as bad. We don't see it as bad. One, we're just deceived into thinking that we're okay. And the other one is we're idle and unoccupied. We just don't have anything better to do with our time. When we're idle and unoccupied, that's what he said for those widows. He said that a problem that can happen with them is they have nothing to occupy their time, so they end up just wandering from house to house. And let me tell you, what you end up doing, people do this, it doesn't matter if they're a widow, it doesn't matter who you are. You could wander from house to house, and if you go to house to house and you sit for very long, you know what you do? You run out of things to talk about. You know what you have to do then? You got to start creating things to talk about. You know what you start talking about? Did you see what Sister So-and-so was wearing to church the other day? Oh, let's just say it's guys. Did you see what Brother So-and-so was wearing to church the other day? I mean, that's what we do. That's a story I heard one time about a lady. She was going to church with her husband, and they got out in the car, and she said, did you see the sister so-and-so that her daughter had an earring in this weird place. Did you see that? And the husband said, didn't even see that. And she said, well, did you see sister so-and-so? Did you believe she was wearing that dress? Should a mother of two really be wearing a dress like that? He said, I didn't even see that either. And she brought up some other obscure thing that she saw. And he says, I didn't see any of those things. She says, well, my goodness, what do you go to church for? You don't ever look at anything. You know, to be honest with you, there's a lot of people, that's kind of what they do. They go to church, they sit, and they look around at people. And the problem is, we end up going from house to house, or we sit and we're not doing anything with our time. And we spend too much time in idle conversation. We end up talking about things we ought not to be talking about. Let me give you another one. It makes them feel important. Most time, this is the reason why people do it. They feel like, man, I've got some juicy tidbit. And it makes them feel like they're pretty important. They get to say something. Proverbs 20 and verse number 19, it says, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Watch this now. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. That's a great little statement. Flatter means to praise and entice. And this is what it's saying. It's saying there's some people that will get around you and they will say great things. And really, they're just digging for morsels that they can use later to talk about you with somebody else. He says, you've got to be careful about those side people. Now listen, real close. I'm going to give you a nugget that'll just blow your mind. Not really, but it might. Watch this now. Some people say, I'm extremely gifted in one area, and sometimes your great strengths are also your great weaknesses. Now watch this now. Let me say it. Somebody says, well, I'm just really good at talking to people and encouraging them, and I get around them, and I butter them up, and I get them going, I'm exhorting them, I'm helping them. But the problem is, you're really good with your words. You're really good with your mouth. The problem is, sometimes you don't know how to control it, and it gets carried away and says things it ought not to say. Your great strength may also be your great downfall. Makes them feel important. Proverbs chapter 16. I'll give you another one. It's going faster than I thought. We're almost done. Proverbs chapter number 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse number 27. Why are we doing this? Sometimes we just don't realize how bad it is. Sometimes we're just vain, we're empty. We think, well, I'm doing all these things good, and this is not that big a deal that I'm talking about people. It is a big deal. It's killing people around you. It's killing your testimony. It's hurting the church. We're idle and we're unoccupied. We don't have anything better to do. And I've told you before, listen, if you don't have anything better to do, why don't you go pray for somebody instead of talking about somebody? Why don't you go somewhere and hand out a tract to somebody? Why don't you get your Bible out and read your Bible instead of spending your time running down other people? It just doesn't do any good. Proverbs 16, verse number 27, watch what it says. An ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. Remember we talked about a minute ago? A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. What's the reason why we do it? Some people just love digging up other things about other people. It's just something about them that they're constantly, they just want to dig things up and explore. They want to search. They want to troll people's pages to find new tidbits to talk about. They just want to, their inquiring mind just wants to know. You've got to be old to get that. Eleanor Roosevelt made this statement. I saw it today. Great minds discuss ideas. Great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. And small minds discuss people. We have an uncontrollable urge to just dig up something about somebody. Let me give you this one because I think this one's important. We become bitter from something somebody's done in our life. And here's a statement you got to get a hold of. Hurting people hurt people. We read through James 3 a while ago, and at the end of that, it talked about bitter water working alongside with sweet water. And Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about bitterness. When we get bitter after chastening of God, we can get bitter. You know what we end up doing? We defile many around us. You know, I've always said this. I thought it was interesting that in Matthew 26, when Jesus rebuked the disciples, and more specifically probably rebuked Judas from John chapter 12, when he rebuked him over what he did, most people can't stand anybody telling them they're doing anything wrong. And so whenever he rebuked him, immediately says he went out and he spoke to those Pharisees about how he could betray Jesus. Now here's what's interesting about people that get rebuked, and this is how this works, is they never go out and say, I'm sure Judas didn't go out and say this. I'm sure it didn't go, you're talking about backbiting, we're talking about tail-bearing, we're talking about, you know, whispering, we're talking about those types of things. That's exactly what he would have done. But nobody ever goes, listen, Judas, I'm sure of it. Judas didn't go to the Pharisees and say, I just want to tell you, I'm really mad right now at the leader. I'm mad at Jesus. Why are you mad at him? Well, because he caught me being a thief trying to steal money. Nobody ever does that. Most of the time people get rebuked for a good reason. But a lot of times people can't handle being told you're off track. And so what they have to do, if I was to ad-lib this and say and read between the lines there and give you my own opinion, I'd tell you what I would have said if I was a low-down, sneaky, snake-in-the-grass Judas. I'd tell you exactly what I would have said. I would have said to those Pharisees, you know what that guy did? They were wasting money over there. Lady broke an alabaster box, just poured out on his feet. I mean, who does that? I mean, what a waste. Guys, can't you see we got a lot of poor around us? I tried to get them to take that and sell it and get some money and give to the poor, and they wouldn't do it. And you know what he did on top of all that? He rebuked me in front of everybody over the fact that all I wanted to do was help the poor people. That's exactly the spin that I would have thought someone would put on it. And what people do that run around and post stuff and say stuff and backbite and slander and tattle and say all these different things, what if you'll watch a lot of them, these are reasons. These are all reasons why it happens. And one of them is, if you trace it back far enough, they're bitter about something. And when people hurt, a lot of times they have no problems with trying to hurt other people. And the last one is this. They're jealous and envious of others. I told you in 2 Corinthians 12:20, Paul said, when I get to that church, he said, I hope I don't find you the way I think I'm going to find you. He says, lest there be debates, and he says, envyings, wrath, strife, backbitings, whisperings. Let me tell you what I think is interesting. I think a lot of time there's people that are saying things about other people, running them down, talking about them, saying, did you hear that so-and-so did this? And I saw so-and-so doing such-and-such. I bet they're up to no good. I bet they're doing such-and-such. And I'm telling you, this happens. I'm not trying to be sexist in any way, but I'm telling you, this. I've worked with teenagers. I've worked with youth. And I'm telling you, teenage girls can be the world's worst about this stuff. But what they end up doing is and it's a lot of to do with envy and jealousy, and they have to pull somebody else down around them. And it's because, let me tell you something. This is what I would love to do with every one of these people that feel this way, is help them to find their value, not in how they can pull everybody else down, but their value in Christ. That they are worth something. You don't have to find your worth and pulling everybody down to your level. You can just rise above all of that and be a child of God. But the problem is, that's what happens, and we gossip because we feel envious about somebody's job, about their relationships, about their lives. And we feel like we need to just bring them down at least another peg. Sometimes we're gossiping because we're unhappy secretly or dissatisfied with our own lives. Our lives have become dull and lack meaning, and so we got to tear down everybody else's life that seems to be doing something. Sometimes we point out the flaws in somebody else because we're really unhappy about our own self. Now, I wrote this, isn't it kind of silly to think that tearing someone else down would somehow work to build you up? Never works. And let me just close by saying this. How in the world do you stop gossip? Well, I'll tell you one, for yourself, this is what you need to do. Think before you speak. Proverbs 15, 20, 28 says, the heart of the righteous studieth the answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. There's a little acrostic deal, and I was over at Brother Buddy's house the other day, and it was funny, I saw it posted on your wall right there. Wish you'd start using it. No, I'm just giving you a hard time. I posted right there on his wall, and I thought, ooh, that's exactly what I've been thinking about. And it is, the acrostic is think. Think. You ought to write this down, or you ought to get it. You can find it from the internet. Ask me about it. I'll give it to you later. The T for think is this. T, is it true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? Do I really need to tell somebody this? K, is it kind? Oh, look, if you don't think it passed this test, then just don't say it. Think before you speak. Control your own spirit. Proverbs 25, that's the last verse I'll give you. Look at that one really quickly. Proverbs 25 and verse number 23. Sometimes you may just have to say to somebody, stop it. Proverbs 25, verse number 23. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance, a backbiting tongue. I've had to be, I'm telling you, I love people. I'd want nothing more than to see people succeed in life. If you know me for any amount of time, you know that's what we do. That's what we do here. And I very rarely get too irritated with a lot of things. Most of the people are saying, how come you're not getting more onto somebody about it? Most of the time that's the comments that I get. Why aren't you getting onto them more about such and such? I'm telling you, one of the things that makes me more angry than anything else is gossip. It does nothing but hurt everybody. And I've had people around before. I've tried to help people before. I've tried to help somebody one time. I tried to help them. And I was going above and beyond trying to investigate things for them, going to law enforcement to help them through things they were going through, and really trying to be a blessing to this person. And just really going above and beyond. And then somebody else came around them and said, they said, well, why do you think he's going so above and beyond? And they started just idly talking and started coming up with crazy ideas about why I might be trying to help them, to maybe get some money from them or something like that. I don't know why they even thought to say that. And the next thing you know, that person wanted nothing to do with me anymore and was mad at me when I came to check on them. It's caused me major harm, and it causes other people major harm when you don't control what you're saying. So sometimes you may have to go to that person and say, you have got to stop it. There's a poem that says this: my name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. The more I am quoted, the more I am believed. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it's never the same. I topple governments and wreck marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, heartaches, and indigestion. I make innocent people cry on their pillows. Even my name hisses. I'm called gossip. I make headlines and I make heartaches. Folks, we don't need to be doing the work of the devil. We can use you can use your tongue, you can use your mouth to speak grace and to help people and to lift them up and to call them on the phone and tell them you love them and you're praying for them. You could send, instead of firing off some craziness to somebody about somebody, you could use your phone to text them and tell them, I love you and I'm praying for you right now. I don't know what you're going through, but I just feel burdened for you and I want to tell you I love you. You could use your time and your words to do so much good. Please don't use it to do bad. It does nothing but destroy. And let me say this. believe the Bible says this, we're going to give an account one day for every idle word that we spoke. And right now the problem is we don't think much about standing before a judgment seat of Christ. Wouldn't it be interesting? You say, well, it'd take too long. Well, he's got eternity. And wouldn't it be interesting if when you stood up there and you thought he was going to say, well, you know, you carried your King James Bible with you every time you went to church, and I just want to tell you, here's a crown for you. If instead he said, after you left church, you spent a lot of your time running down all your brothers and sisters. Let's take a few things from you. We're going to give an account of every one of the idle words we speak. Why don't we instead use our mouths to help people instead of hurting? Let's stand on our feet. Well, Lord God, Father, we come to you tonight. And I pray you'd help us all take heed to the instruction. It's your word tonight. We've gone through a bunch of it. It's overflowing with it. There's so much in your Bible about this topic. And it's probably so much because it's so prevalent. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us. I pray you'd help each one of us, every one of us. Lord, if we have something we think is wrong, we'd go to the source and we'd deal with it instead of going to somebody that can do nothing about it. Father, help us. Help us to remember these verses, to remember the ones that cut us the deepest tonight, to remember them and apply them to our lives. Father, it would help so much in churches if people would get a hold of this. Now, Father, we love you. We ask you to do the work now. I've tried to be faithful to your word, and I pray your Holy Spirit would do the application in Jesus' name. Amen. She's going to play. Many have already come to the altar, and this is one of those messages when you come to the altar, you feel like...